It has turned out to be a lovely Saturday in these parts after a very rainy Friday. Kind of putting a dent in any plans you had in the outdoors, whether it's fishing or amateur baseball or any of those grad parties that are going on all over the state of Minnesota. And then, of course, all those spring sports at the high school level that are trying to get to the finish line. Of course, a lot of state tournaments coming up, sectional play, etc. But a gorgeous Saturday. And it'd be a great day to be out on the water. And Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I am in a really good mood, Steve. What a beautiful day to be on the water. It is gorgeous. Light winds, 75 degrees. June 1, this is the beginning of the best fishing of the year. I'll tell you, this week was lights out. Everything's going. Every lake's going. All species are going. It is just really going well right now. It's perfect.
Yeah, and there is no doubt, Steve, when you get into this time of year, that we've talked for a long time about it, everything kind of comes together for just this great stretch of fishing. And then before you know it, it's a dog day, so take advantage.
Well, you know, Steve, what we got going here with this weird spring is we've had cold nights and we've had some nice days, but not a lot. But what I think this is going to do is extend the fishing, the really good fishing, quite a bit longer than it normally does. You know, the water temperatures have been lagging behind since the ice went out. You're looking at 57, 58 on a lot of lakes, 60, which is about 10 degrees colder than it should be. But the fishing is so good right now, and it looks like these water temperatures are just going to kind of hover in that range, and I think that's going to maintain good fishing for, you know, just an indefinite period, unless we get, you know, some really strange 80s and 90s. But it's just going so well right now. The weed growth is just kind of starting. A lot of the fish have been in doing their spawning thing. They're done. All the crappies, walleyes, bluegills are all moving out on the first break. Basically a shoreline situation right now. They're really not out on main lake flats yet. They will eventually, but everything I've been catching all week on multiple lakes has been right in that weed line area, 6 to 8 feet, 9 feet, not super shallow, not super deep, just kind of right on those edges, and that's where the fish are right now. It doesn't matter what lake you're on. They're going. They got their spawning done. They're eating. And, you know, cloudy days have been really good. That's probably the best time to be out. When you get good overcast, they're up shallow and they're active. Sunny, you know, not quite as good, but still right now, June 1, I mean, this is the best month of the year. And I think it's going to get extended. I think July might be better than we think. And so that's kind of the afterthought of this weird cold spring we've had. So I think it's looking pretty good.
All right, a couple of things before we let you go and get back at it. Number one, has the rain as of late helped water levels on your favorite body of water?
Yeah, water levels are up to where they should be. I would say, you know, we've got rain coming again tomorrow, and I think things are going to maintain. I would say the lakes are probably up 10 inches from last year, which is really good. But we don't want too much rain, and we're really close to getting to that point. It already killed my tomatoes, so I'm not happy about that. So I have to start over. And, you know, the wind has been really the biggest factor this spring. It is windy all the time, and, you know, it makes access on some lakes a little bit more difficult. But it's definitely the windiest spring I've ever seen. So that's been something that's been kind of a fly in the ointment. But we put up with it anyway, and you know, the best fishing has been right away in the morning. I'm on the water by 6 o'clock in the morning, and usually the wind doesn't come up till midday. So you can always get the morning in, you know, 90% of the time. And those fish are, again, very active in the morning and very active in the evening. So it's going, man. Today is my rest and Advil day, and I'm back at it tomorrow.
All right, Steve, and then finally, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about bait presentation. What do you recommend right now? What's working best?
You know, Steve, you don't even need live bait right now. It's going so well. I'm throwing a lot of plastics, just plastic jigs, 3 inches long with little paddle tails on it, and you can use any type of power bait or plastic. It really doesn't matter. These fish are going so well right now, live bait is not necessary. So I'm throwing hair jigs, any kind of artificials are working well, small crankbaits right now. So this is the time of year where the fish are really not very selective. They're active, they're shallow, they're feeding, and it really doesn't matter. So plastics are really, really the way to go right now.
All right, Steve, enjoy in the coming week. Are you going to stay close to home and get your limit?
Well, I'm going to stay around Lakes Country. I've got a lot of fishing commitments this week. I'm taking some veterans out from the Iraq War, nice. Some combat wounded veterans this week. That's going to be a highlight of my week, and it's going to be a busy week. June is always busy, but it's going to be good. I just feel it in my bones, Steve.
All right, very good, Steve. We'll do it again in 1 week.
All right, sounds good. Take care, man.
There he is, Steve Kearney of StepKearneyOutdoors.com. By the way, our outdoors coverage coming up tomorrow is Sunday between 5 and 6. Rob Driesline from Outdoor News has a terrific show lined up. A lot of great info, a lot of great guests every Sunday between 5 and 6, sports schedules permitting. Speaking of that, we have the Twins and the Astros. Game 2 of the 3-game set coming up from Houston. Our pregame lineup card at 2:30 today, and we'll have more on the Twins shortly. But one of the other sports headlines, and there's been a lot of them, it's been a busy week. PWH held Minnesota. They win a title. They win the Walter Cup, first ever. They take down Boston in that best-of-five series. Of course, Timberwolves eliminated by Dallas. We talked about that with Shaletta in detail before 2 o'clock today. It looks like Tim Connelly staying put. Will they keep the band back together going into next season? My thought is at this point, yes. And then the Wild made a move. Darby Hendrickson. Darby, associated with the Wild, as a player and now a coach for the last 14 years. One of the stories this week, he was let go in Josh Wheeler. This caught me a little bit by surprise because Darby's been around so long and been through so many different regime changes.
Yeah. This is I'm not going to say I'm completely surprised. He was kind of the lone ranger remaining on this coaching staff, and let's be honest, this team just needs to try something to, you know, poke the bear and get something to work, because I talked about this a couple days ago on these very airwaves that this upcoming season isn't really there's not much to what's ahead for the next season. I feel like I don't like using the term throwaway season, but it's basically a throwaway season. I think everybody's just waiting for the July 4th, 2025 deadline for when those two contracts expire, and then we can start progressing forward. So I think they're just trying something or anything to get something going with this organization because, yeah, Darby's been around and served his time for a while, but from what I was reading from Sarah McClellan in the Star Tribune is John Hines also is hoping to sit down with the other coaches at some point in the next week or two. So I don't expect this to be the only coaching change. I think there might be a little bit of a rift in the coaching staff. So we'll see. But I'm not really that surprised by Darby. He served his time. He's done, you know, amazing things through the Mike Yeo, Bruce Boudreau, John Torchetti. You want to name it? We've had pretty much every head coach under the sun for the last 10, 15 years.
And he played for Jacques. So
yeah.
I mean, he, you know, as a player and a coach, he's been around this organization in some way, shape, or form almost since day one this organization. So it is a big change. But you brought up Hines, and the thought is, you know, after taking over for Dean Evason, that he probably wants to bring in his own guys and, you know, completely rework it as they get ready for camp. And before you know it, you know, we're going to be talking about training camp. So, in fairness to Hines, he probably wants to bring in his own group.
Yeah, something needs to change, and I feel like there's been a lot of constants with this team as Darby's been through it. So maybe they, you know, maybe they've kind of nitpicked through the smaller details of the Wild's game and said, you know what, let's try this with somebody else because maybe this is kind of the, you know, the inconsistency that we are seeking out in this team.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. Twins highlights from a big win. Pablo Lopez on Friday night was outstanding, and it had been a struggle. His ERA was going in the wrong direction, but he had a great start. Twins roll over the Astros. 6-1 highlights from that. We'll have a sneak peek at the lineup, and then, of course, the lineup card from the Treasure Island Baseball Network comes your way at 2:30 today. First pitch at 3:10. Speaking of guys going well, Joe Ryan on the mound today. He has been great for the Twins. It's all on the way here on a spectacular weather Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins in Houston at Minute Maid. Game two of the three-game set coming up today. Pre-game lineup card 2:30, first pitch 3:10. Joe Ryan on the mound. He's been really good. A guy who was struggling, Pablo Lopez, their ace going into the season, but he looked the part last night. He pitched really, really well in the ball game last night, and it was scoreless early, and then Carlos Correa gave the Twins a lead.
0-2 pitch, swung on and shot towards Altuve, off his glove and into right center field. Castro's going to score. Miranda heads for third. Correa's headed for second. It's going to be an RBI double for Carlos Correa. And the Twins lead this game 1-0.
So, good start for the Twins. It would actually make it 2-0 before the Astros got on the board. Alex Bregman went deep.
As the pitch delivered, and Bregman tomahawks this one high in the air. Hello, Crawford boxes. There goes the shutout home run. It's the fourth first pitch home run of the year given up by Pablo Lopez. Bregman's homered in consecutive days, his seventh of the year, and it's 2-1 Twins.
Yeah, and that was it. That was it for Pablo Lopez. That lone blemish, bullpen did a great job. Twins would only give up one run in the 6-1 victory, and they got some home run power as well. How about Trevor Larnach in the fifth?
Not going here, and this ball hit in the air right field. Tucker drifts back, the park won't hold it, and it's a home run for Trevor Larnach. On the ninth pitch of the at-bat, Trevor Larnach delivers as he smokes one into the seats in right, and the Minnesota Twins lead it now 4-1.
So they're cruising. They continue to tack on. How about Carlos Santana in the eighth? A little insurance.
Santana, not a small man, and he hits this ball high in the air to right field. Tucker looking up. Tucker still looking up and watching it soar into the bullpen for a Carlos Santana home run. Santana will make the lap, and the Twins lead 6-1.
And that's how it would end. But back to Pablo Lopez, really the big story of the night for the Twins. It had been a struggle. He talked about changing things up, changing his routine, and it really paid dividends.
Swinging miss, he struck him out. He chased, and he's going to head right back to the dugout and grab his glove. Nine in a row retired for Pablo Lopez, who strides confidently back to the Twins dugout.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding effort. And post-game, manager Rocco Baldelli talked about his starter.
Yeah. A lot of people said he looked a lot meaner getting ready for the outing today and mentality-wise. And I don't know if he pitched meaner, but he pitched great. He had a pretty good changeup today. He attacked with his fastball really well. I think he threw enough good off-speed pitches to get what he was looking for. And the fastballs, especially the fastballs up in the zone, were so good. And that's where the effectiveness really comes in. That's what really good execution looks like. And that's how you pitch seven strong innings against a good lineup. So that's what he was able to give us today. And I couldn't have been more pleased. I know Pete and the staff and Pablo himself couldn't have been happier with what he was able to give us today.
Yeah, and there's no doubt Josh Wheeler, starting pitcher, going that way makes a manager's job easy. You could hear it in Rocco's voice how thrilled he was the way Lopez pitched.
Pablo's back, baby. Pablo is back. It's good to have. It's weird with this. With these kinds of players where you're always kind of skeptical on how much they really are going to stay consistent, especially just given the history of Twins pitching. We never really have a solid ace that all season long is staying consistent. And right now we're seeing a continuation of what Pablo did last year into this year, where he is still remaining that number one spot. Obviously, Bailey Ober just got clobbered the other day, but Bailey Ober I still would consider probably our number two guy. But yeah, it's good to see Pablo kind of get the job done. And yeah, you got to love what you see if you're Rocco.
Yeah, and Joe Ryan has pitched very well indeed, and he'll get the ball today. And the Twins need to keep winning because the Cleveland Guardians keep winning. They're at 38-19, four clear of Kansas City. The Twins remain six games back. Both Cleveland and Minnesota over their last 10 are 8-2. So it's imperative that the Twins keep winning ballgames, and they have a shot today. Ryan against Valdez. Here's how the Twins are going to go. Sneak peek at the lineup with the lineup card coming up momentarily. Leading off, Margot in right field, Correa at short will bat second. Jeffries, the DH, will bat third. Miranda at third in the cleanup spot. Buxton in center field will bat fifth, batting sixth and left. Castro batting seventh at second. Kyle Farmer batting eighth at first. Santana and catching Vasquez. So it'll be Margot, Correa, Jeffers, Miranda, Buxton, Castro, Farmer, Santana, and Vasquez, with Joe Ryan on the mound. First pitch, 3:10. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Enjoy the ball game on this beautiful Saturday here at CCO. It has turned out to be a lovely Saturday in these parts after a very rainy Friday, kind of putting a dent in any plans you had in the outdoors, whether it's fishing or amateur baseball or any of those grad parties that are going on all over the state of Minnesota. And then, of course, all those spring sports at the high school level that are trying to get to the finish line. Of course, a lot of state tournaments coming up, sectional play, etc. But a gorgeous Saturday. And it'd be a great day to be out on the water. And Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I am in a really good mood, Steve. What a beautiful day to be on the water. It is gorgeous. Light winds, 75 degrees. June 1, this is the beginning of the best fishing of the year. I'll tell you, this week was lights out. Everything's going. Every lake's going. All species are going. It is just really going well right now. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, and there is no doubt, Steve, when you get into this time of year, that we've talked for a long time about it, everything kind of comes together for just this great stretch of fishing. And then before you know it, it's a dog day, so take advantage.
Well, you know, Steve, what we got going here with this weird spring is we've had cold nights and we've had some nice days, but not a lot. But what I think this is going to do is extend the fishing, the really good fishing, quite a bit longer than it normally does. You know, the water temperatures have been lagging behind since the ice went out. You're looking at 57, 58 on a lot of lakes, 60, which is about 10 degrees colder than it should be. But the fishing is so good right now, and it looks like these water temperatures are just going to kind of hover in that range, and I think that's going to maintain good fishing for, you know, just an indefinite period, unless we get, you know, some really strange 80s and 90s. But it's just going so well right now. The weed growth is just kind of starting. A lot of the fish have been in doing their spawning thing. They're done. All the crappies, walleyes, bluegills are all moving out on the first break. Basically a shoreline situation right now. They're really not out on main lake flats yet. They will eventually, but everything I've been catching all week on multiple lakes has been right in that weed line area, 6 to 8 feet, 9 feet, not super shallow, not super deep, just kind of right on those edges, and that's where the fish are right now. It doesn't matter what lake you're on. They're going. They got their spawning done. They're eating. And, you know, cloudy days have been really good. That's probably the best time to be out. When you get good overcast, they're up shallow and they're active. Sunny, you know, not quite as good, but still right now, June 1, I mean, this is the best month of the year. And I think it's going to get extended. I think July might be better than we think. And so that's kind of the afterthought of this weird cold spring we've had. So I think it's looking pretty good.
All right, a couple of things before we let you go and get back at it. Number one, has the rain as of late helped water levels on your favorite body of water?
Yeah, water levels are up to where they should be. I would say, you know, we've got rain coming again tomorrow, and I think things are going to maintain. I would say the lakes are probably up 10 inches from last year, which is really good, but we don't want too much rain, and we're really close to getting to that point. It already killed my tomatoes, so I'm not happy about that, so I have to start over. And, you know, the wind has been really the biggest factor this spring. It is windy all the time, and, you know, it makes access on some lakes a little bit more difficult, but it's definitely the windiest spring I've ever seen. So that's been something that's been kind of a fly in the ointment, but we put up with it anyway. And, you know, the best fishing has been right away in the morning. I'm on the water by 6 o'clock in the morning, and usually the wind doesn't come up till midday. So you can always get the morning in, you know, 90% of the time. And those fish are, again, very active in the morning and very active in the evening. So it's going, man. Today is my rest and Advil day, and I'm back at it tomorrow.
All right, Steve, and then finally, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about bait presentation. What do you recommend right now? What's working best?
You know, Steve, you don't even need live bait right now. It's going so well. I'm throwing a lot of plastics, just plastic jigs, 3 inches long with little paddle tails on it, and you can use any type of power bait or plastic. It really doesn't matter. These fish are going so well right now. Live bait is not necessary, so I'm throwing hair jigs, any kind of artificials are working well, small crankbaits right now. So this is the time of year where the fish are really not very selective. They're active, they're shallow, they're feeding, and it really doesn't matter. So plastics are really, really the way to go right now.
All right, Steve, enjoy in the coming week. You're going to stay close to home and get your limit?
Well, I'm going to stay around Lakes Country. I've got a lot of fishing commitments this week. I'm taking some veterans out from the Iraq War, nice. Some combat wounded veterans this week. That's going to be a highlight of my week, and it's going to be a busy week. June is always busy, but it's going to be good. I just feel it in my bones, Steve.
All right, very good, Steve. We'll do it again in 1 week.
All right, sounds good. Take care, man.
There he is, Steve Kearney of StepeKearneyOutdoors.com. By the way, our outdoors coverage coming up tomorrow is Sunday between 5 and 6. Rob Dreesline from Outdoor News has a terrific show lined up. A lot of great info, a lot of great guests every Sunday between 5 and 6, sports schedules permitting. Speaking of that, we have the Twins and the Astros. Game 2 of the 3-game set coming up from Houston. Our pregame lineup card at 2:30 today, and we'll have more on the Twins shortly. But one of the other sports headlines, and there's been a lot of them. It's been a busy week. PWH held Minnesota. They win a title. They win the Walter Cup, first ever. They take down Boston in that best-of-five series. Of course, Timberwolves eliminated by Dallas. We talked about that with Shaletta in detail before 2 o'clock today. It looks like Tim Connelly staying put. Will they keep the band back together going into next season? My thought is at this point, yes. And then the Wild made a move. Darby Hendrickson. Darby, associated with the Wild as a player and now a coach for the last 14 years. One of the stories this week, he was let go in Josh Wheeler. This caught me a little bit by surprise because Darby's been around so long and been through so many different regime changes.
Yeah. This is, I'm not going to say I'm completely surprised. He was kind of the lone ranger remaining on this coaching staff, and let's be honest, this team just needs to try something to you know, poke the bear and get something to work, because I talked about this a couple days ago on these very airwaves, that this upcoming season isn't really, there's not much to what's ahead for the next season. I feel like I don't like using the term throwaway season, but it's basically a throwaway season. I think everybody's just waiting for the July 4th, 2025 deadline for when those two contracts expire, and then we can start progressing forward. So I think they're just trying something or anything to get something going with this organization, because yeah, Darby's been around and served his time for a while, but from what I was reading from Sarah McClellan in the Star Tribune, is John Hines also is hoping to sit down with the other coaches at some point in the next week or two So I don't expect this to be the only coaching change. I think there might be a little bit of a rift in the coaching staff. So we'll see. But I'm not really that surprised by Darby. He served his time. He's done, you know, amazing things through the Mike Yeo, Bruce Boudreau, John Torchetti. You want to name it? We've had pretty much every head coach under the sun for the last 10, 15 years.
And he played for Jacques. So, yeah. I mean, he, you know, as a player and a coach, he's been around this organization in some way, shape, or form almost since day one this organization. So it is a big change. But you brought up Hines, and the thought is, you know, after taking over for Dean Evason, that he probably wants to bring in his own guys and, you know, completely rework it as they get ready for camp. And before you know it, you know, we're going to be talking about training camp. So in fairness to Hines, he probably wants to bring in his own group.
Yeah, something needs to change, and I feel like there's been a lot of constants with this team as Darby's been through it. So maybe they, you know, maybe they've kind of nitpicked through the smaller details of the Wilds game and said, you know what, let's try this with somebody else because maybe this is kind of the inconsistency that we are seeking out in this team.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. Twins highlights from a big win. Pablo Lopez on Friday night was outstanding, and it had been a struggle. His ERA was going in the wrong direction, but he had a great start. Twins roll over the Astros. 6-1 highlights from that. We'll have a sneak peek at the lineup. And then, of course, the lineup card from the Treasure Island Baseball Network comes your way at 2:30 today. First pitch at 3:10. Speaking of guys going well, Joe Ryan on the mound today. He has been great for the Twins. It's all on the way here on a spectacular weather Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins in Houston at Minute Maid. Game 2 of the 3-game set coming up today. Pre-game lineup card 2:30, first pitch 3:10. Joe Ryan on the mound. He's been really good. A guy who was struggling, Pablo Lopez, their ace going into the season, but he looked the part last night. He pitched really, really well in the ball game last night, and it was scoreless early. And then Carlos Correa gave the Twins a lead.
0-2 pitch, swung on and shot towards Altuve, off his glove and into right center field. Castro's going to score. Miranda heads for third. Correa's headed for second. It's going to be an RBI double for Carlos Correa. And the Twins lead this game 1-0.
So, good start for the Twins. It would actually make it 2-0 before the Astros got on the board. Alex Bregman went deep.
As the pitch delivered, and Bregman tomahawks this one high in the air. Hello, Crawford boxes. There goes the shutout home run. It's the fourth first pitch home run of the year given up by Pablo Lopez. Bregman's homered in consecutive days, his seventh of the year, and it's 2-1 Twins.
Yeah, and that was it. That was it for Pablo Lopez. That lone blemish, bullpen did a great job. Twins would only give up one run in the 6-1 victory. And they got some home run power as well. How about Trevor Larnach in the fifth?
Not going here, and this ball hit in the air right field. Tucker drifts back. The park won't hold it, and it's a home run for Trevor Larnach. On the ninth pitch of the at-bat, Trevor Larnach delivers as he smokes one into the seats in right. And the Minnesota Twins lead it now 4-1.
So they're cruising. They continue to tack on. How about Carlos Santana in the eighth? A little insurance.
Santana, not a small man, and he hits this ball high in the air to right field. Tucker looking up. Tucker still looking up and watching it soar into the bullpen for a Carlos Santana home run. Santana will make the lap, and the Twins lead 6-1.
And that's how it would end. But back to Pablo Lopez, really the big story of the night for the Twins. It had been a struggle. He talked about changing things up, changing his routine, and it really paid dividends.
Swinging miss, he struck him out. He chased, and he's going to head right back to the dugout and grab his glove. 9 in a row retired for Pablo Lopez. He strides confidently back to the Twins dugout.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding effort. And post-game, manager Rocco Baldelli talked about his starter.
Yeah, a lot of people said he looked a lot meaner getting ready for the outing today and mentality wise. And I don't know if he pitched meaner, but he pitched great. He had a pretty good changeup today. He attacked with his fastball really well. I think he threw enough good off-speed pitches to get what he was looking for. And the fastballs, especially the fastballs up in the zone, were so good. And that's where the effectiveness really comes in. That's what really good execution looks like. And that's how you pitch seven strong innings against a good lineup. So that's what he was able to give us today. And I couldn't have been more pleased. I know Pete and the staff and Pablo himself couldn't have been happier with what he was able to give us today.
Yeah, and there's no doubt Josh Wheeler, starting pitcher, going that way makes a manager's job easy. You could hear it in Rocco's voice how thrilled he was the way Lopez pitched.
Pablo's back, baby. Pablo is back. It's good to have. It's weird with this with these kinds of players where you're always kind of skeptical on how much they really are going to stay consistent, especially just given the history of Twins pitching. We never really have a solid ace that all season long is staying consistent. And right now we're seeing a continuation of what Pablo did last year into this year, where he is still remaining that number one spot. Obviously, Bailey Obert just got clobbered the other day, but Bailey Obert still would consider probably our number two guy. But yeah, it's good to see Pablo kind of get the job done. And yeah, you got to love what you see if you're Rocco.
Yeah, and Joe Ryan has pitched very well indeed, and he'll get the ball today. And the Twins need to keep winning because the Cleveland Guardians keep winning. They're at 38-19, four clear of Kansas City. The Twins remain six games back. Both Cleveland and Minnesota over their last 10 are 8-2. So it's imperative that the Twins keep winning ball games, and they have a shot today. Ryan against Valdez. Here's how the Twins are going to go. Sneak peek at the lineup with the lineup card coming up momentarily. Leading off, Margot in right field. Correa at short will bat second. Jeffries, the DH, will bat third. Miranda at third in the cleanup spot. Buxton in center field will bat fifth. Batting sixth and left. Castro batting seventh at second. Kyle Farmer batting eighth at first. Santana and catching Vasquez. So it'll be Margot, Correa, Jeffers, Miranda, Buxton, Castro, Farmer, Santana, and Vasquez with Joe Ryan on the mound. First pitch, 3:10. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Enjoy the ball game on this beautiful Saturday here at CCO.